So the question is, why is her tumor different than other tumors? Can we see something under microscope or genomic assay, a proteomic assay? What do you think are some of the markers maybe that would be interesting to look at for a patient like this and other kinds of markers?
It's related to what you brought up before about the direction of how we're going to treat patients. We are actually planning at MD Anderson in cooperation with Dana-Farber and Emory to do a series of phase 2 trials. And what we will do, we will mandate these patients who are second-line lung cancer patients to have a biopsy. They will get two core biopsies. After completing that biopsy, we are asking them to wait for 2 weeks. At that point, we will run a litany of biomarker tests, including VEGF-related, EGF-related, including mutation and amplification, other ones such as cyclin D1, RAS-RAF kinase. We are going to put all of this data into a statistical model that's being developed by one of our top statisticians, Dr. Jack Lee at MD Anderson, and come out with a hypothetical score. If the patient's tumor, we believe, based on preclinical data, favors a VEGF type of inhibition, that patient will then be randomized to a VEGF trial we have open. And two of them which we will have, the four drugs we will be testing is Tarceva, Zactima, which is the ZD6474, Tarceva plus bexarotene, because we've seen synergistic activities there, and this has been described at Dartmouth as well, and then finally sorafenib as the final arm. And so based on the characteristics of this patient's tissue, we will hypothetically try to place them in a drug arm that is most favorable to their tumor. What is the best and worst case scenario? The best case scenario is that we get much higher response rates and disease control than has been described in other phase 2 studies. The worst case scenario is that we've randomly placed a patient into one of four very active drugs for non-small cell lung cancer. So it's a win-win from that standpoint.
I'm curious, given the recent history of the EGFR mutation related to TK inhibitors and IHC and FISH for EGFR, what are some of the things that you're going to look at to try to predict the response to erlotinib?
So we are going to look at EGFR mutations. We will also look at FISH amplification. We'll also look at RAS mutations as well. And the way we've developed the scheme, and what's very nice about this statistical model is that as we get more and more data that comes out about markers, it may shift the weight that we placed on each of these different markers. If we were designing this trial 2 years ago, or even a year and a half ago, the mutation patients would exclusively go to one of the Tarceva arms. There would be no amplification. Now, a mutation doesn't carry as much weight necessarily as an amplification. They complement each other. But if you have a RAS mutation, no amplification, and an EGF mutation, perhaps that patient should not go on to an EGFR drug at this time, based on the limited data we have of RAS mutation patients perhaps doing a little worse with EGF-based drugs. But again, that is very preliminary.